Please God to bless us together this evening as we conclude our meditation in the 27th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And this evening we'll read from verse 39. So the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 27, and reading from verse 39. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast, and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of ship, and so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. This is really a wonderful account that we've been meditating on in this 27th chapter, because we see how God's grace was glorious, and how that those words that he had given to the Apostle Paul were fulfilled. And what an encouragement it was to realize the Lord was with them. And of course there were so many trials on this journey, a journey which of course Paul warned them not to set off, and yet they disregarded his views and listened to the captain and the soldiers, and therefore pursued that way and started sailing when it wasn't a good time to sail. And of course initially it all looked plain sailing. It all looked calm, it all looked nice and easy. But it wasn't very long before that typhoon, referred to here as Euroclydon, came and caused this tremendous storm to occur, so that they were driven up and down in the sea for those 14 days. It's almost impossible for us to realise what it must have been like, because there was no way of any navigation, no sun, no moon. They were absolutely, literally at sea, didn't know where they were. And so for those 14 days, and then as we remember the apostle, he drew near to God, and he tells us, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that serve with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." Well, that was wonderful to be able to read that and to know that Paul was given that faith and to believe that which had been spoken to him on that night when he got aside to seek God's guidance and blessing. And how, though, of course, it wasn't immediately fulfilled. They were still at sea. They were still in a rough sea, still a stormy sea. And yet, you see, the Lord was gracious and brought to pass that which he had spoken of. And he says, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island." So he was convinced indeed that they would all be brought safely to land, but we see how that faith was tested and tried. And of course, it's no different to us today, is it? In our walk, our path on this earth. And we may be blessed sometimes with an indication from God that it's the right way and that God will be with us and he'll help us and he'll bring us safely through. But then we'll find storms arise, tempests arise, and we wonder where the scene will end. We wonder whether we ever will escape, whether we ever will get safe to land. Well, let us remember this occasion, this wonderful account. And so we see these last few verses, what was occurring. And when it was day, and of course that they passed nights and days, and now it was day. When it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered. You might remember that last time they were getting near land, and they wanted to find out how deep the water was. So they sounded, and they found how deep it was, and it was getting less. So they knew they were getting near to land, and therefore they threw some anchors to try and hold the boat so it wouldn't bring them onto rocks if it were so. But now day had dawned, and clearly they could see the land. And what a wonderful thing that was, surely. You imagine being 14 days tossed to and fro in the middle of the sea, not knowing where you were, and then suddenly to be able to view the land. Well, we must, of course, and we would desire to think of this not only in a natural way, but also in a spiritual way. Because there may be those times when we can't actually see the way, and we don't know which way we're going. It all seems to be rough and stormy, darkness, no light. And then suddenly, as the light dawns on a day, we see land. We see spiritual land. What do we see? We're looking forward to that land of glory. We have that faith to believe that we will arrive safely home. We have that view of the Saviour who has died for us upon the cross at Calvary. That one who has therefore taken away all our sins, and therefore from that darkness that we were in, suddenly the light shines. The glorious light of the everlasting gospel. And how encouraging it would be. How encouraging it was here for these people. They did all that they could to make haste. They discovered this creek with a shore into which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoist up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. So here again, they'd seen the shore and everything looked good now. And they were doing that which was necessary to enable them to steer the boat in a safe course. And I expect they were really hoping that they would soon therefore get into this creek and find themselves in calm water and safely get to that land. But it wasn't to be so. And surely that's the same in our spiritual life. As we may come out of a time of real storm and darkness, and we may think, well now, I believe by faith I can see the land afar off, and we trust it's going to be a good, calm journey for the rest of our life. And we may feel and desire that the Lord will take care of us and watch over us. And we may therefore commit our way unto him. These people, these sailors, they committed themselves unto the sea. They were familiar with it. And we may desire and may have that grace to commit our way unto the Lord, that he will indeed be with us and bring us safely home at last. And it may seem to be going well, because here they were, they did all that was necessary to conclude their journey, but they didn't really expect to happen what Paul had said would. And in their endeavours, as we read here, and falling into a place where two seas met, they weren't aware of that. And sometimes we may not be aware of these things in our lives. We may not be aware of what's ahead of us. We may only see perhaps the one direction as it were, the sea. Then suddenly we come across another direction and we find our journey suddenly takes a turn for the worse. And here on this occasion, the boat, you see, ran aground and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And again, we see the spiritual significance here, as perhaps we may make that have that desire and the efforts to pursue the narrow way, and then suddenly we find we're driven, as these people were driven onto the ground, and there was no progress. And worse than that, the ship was breaking up. We may think sometimes, well, perhaps our ship is breaking up. Well, these sailors, they had to leave the ship. And to leave everything. Leave it all behind. And cast all their care upon the Lord. That he would enable them to get safe to land. And surely it's the same in spiritual life sometimes. We come to that situation where we find that which we've been relying upon to take us, to be with us, to help us, suddenly we find it's of no use. It's run aground, as it were. And worse still, it's breaking up. What's going to happen? The sailors had to cast themselves into the sea. Had to cast themselves upon the mercy of the Lord. Isn't that what we have to do today? We have to leave everything and cast ourselves upon the mercy and grace of our God. Now, God is faithful. God was faithful to these people. The promise which Paul had been given was to be fulfilled. Not in a way perhaps they expected. And it seemed very dark and not possible. But as for God, his way was perfect. He knew what he would do. He knew how they would be delivered. And so it is in our lives. The Lord knows how he will bring us safe home to glory. And some, and the rest, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. What a blessing it is to believe that we shall all escape out of the snares and the traps and the ways the devil sets for us. And by God's grace and with God's help, we shall arrive safe at land. Indeed, come safely into our desired haven, that place at heaven at last. And then you see we can look back, no doubt, these sailors as they clambered up on the shore. And look back over all those stormy days and realized they'd been delivered. They'd been saved. And no doubt Paul truly was able to give thanks to God for his faithfulness and his love and his mercy. And so may we today, in like manner, as we journey on with our eye of faith, looking towards the promised land and believing that through the grace of God we shall get safely home, so that it may be said, and we pray it may be said of all of us with regard to our spiritual life. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Amen.